Oh, it's gonna rain. It's gonna rain.
I'm just expecting, Lord.
It's gonna rain. Oh, it's gonna rain. It's gonna rain.
Hey, welcome to the podcast of the Mission Del Rey, a spirit-filled multicultural church located in Delray Beach, Florida. You can find more about the mission and Pastor Carl Thomas at www.themissiondelray.com.
It's gonna rain, oh, it's gonna rain. It's gonna rain, oh, it's gonna rain. It's gonna rain, oh, it's gonna rain. It's gonna rain, oh, it's gonna rain.
Second Timothy chapter 3. So as we preach through this, so just put your finger there. I'll be there in a second. As we talk through this series, I think it's been really exciting because you know the Bible's so cool because you can look at the Bible, you can get a little myopic with the word. You can get a little you get so close and you learn each scripture, each verse, each word, even looking at the Greek and looking at the root, and you get so close to it. Sometimes we don't back up a little bit and see what the big picture was. You know what I'm saying? We can get so many little facts that we don't see the overall message that that God was trying to show us in the Word. And as we looked at 1 and 2 Timothy, what's really cool about this to me is, as a minister of the gospel, and everybody who's a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a minister of the gospel. But as a minister of the gospel, I'm able to look at one of the founders of Christianity and see what his heart towards the people he disciples was. You know, like I got to see, I didn't actually meet Paul. Now, I've heard some stories of people who said they met Paul, but those were a little funny, if you know what I'm talking about. But there's people got visions of everything. But I obviously I didn't meet Paul, but I get to look into his heart and how God used him through the letters he wrote his disciple. And it's easy just to look at it and say, oh no, it says right here in 1 Timothy that women can't think or have an opinion or do anything. So then you have to, and it's like, wait a minute, that's. You know, I know you got one little verse, and that's what you came up with, but let's take a step back. Let's take a step back, and who was Paul? Who was he toward women? Who was he towards men? Who was he towards sons? You know, we can step back, and we can see the big picture, and in light of the big picture, we can see the specifics of what he's talking about. Amen? Like, people talk about a loving God, they talk about a merciful God, a forgiving God, and then they say, but at any moment, he's going to send you to hell because he hates you. And it's like, let's take a step back a little bit. Let's take a step back just for a second and see who this God really is, and then we can view the scriptures through the bigger picture of who God is. Yes, there is a hell. Yes, people will be sent there for eternity, but I don't believe God's all that excited about doing it. Amen? Amen? So, you know, one of the cool things about having these letters that Paul wrote to Timothy is we get to see, you know, his most intimate correspondence towards somebody he really loved and what he thought about him. And so, as we're here today in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we see like the ultimate advice that Paul had toward Timothy. If you remember, we talked about time and again, Paul said, look, false doctrine's going to come. False teachers will come. People are going to come spreading doctrines that don't make any sense, and doctrine matters. Amen? If we've learned nothing else in this series, we've learned doctrine matters. What you believe matters. What you teach matters. How you conduct your life matters. These things matter. Now, it's possible to just, you know, confess Jesus Christ and come to an altar and bawl and squall and get snot all over your face and go home and not be a wicked infidel for the rest of your life and slide into heaven. If that's your goal, you can do that, but that's not our goal. Amen. That's not the goal of the Word. That wasn't the goal of Paul, I believe, and that's not my goal. Amen. Hopefully, it's not your goal. If that's your goal, you're really not going to like being at this church for too long, because that's not how we preach. I'm not here to serve up a buffet of knowledge so that you can pick and choose and just feel like, you know, you're smarter now, so you feel good. That's not my goal. My goal here is to help you in your call to greatness for the kingdom. that'll catch up to you later. So as we look at Paul is saying, look, son Timothy, if you get these foundations right, then the house you build upon that foundation is going to be strong. If you get these foundational beliefs correct, then this house you build is going to last. If you get these foundational things in order, then you won't have to rebuild the house later. That's my goal. And so he warns them time and again, look, false doctrine, false teachers, false beliefs. There's going to put people in bondage and families are going to be out of whack. And finally, at the end of this second book that he wrote, the second letter that he wrote to his spiritual son, Timothy, he gives them the answer of how we avoid these things. He gives them the answer how we correct these things. He gives them the answer. You know, it's great to get knowledge of how to get out of a trap, but I would rather have some wisdom how not to fall into the trap to begin with. Amen? I'd rather live my life that I don't want to have the debt collector on speed dial so I can negotiate. I'd rather find out how not to have debt. You know, I don't want to learn, you know, I don't want to have to, you know, the card for the bail bondsman in my wallet all the time. I'd rather just not get arrested. You hear what I'm saying? I'd rather live a life that avoids problem than living a life that tells me how to get out of problems. You hear what I'm saying? And so finally, at the end of the second letter, Paul starts breaking it down for Timothy. Look, I've told you about these things. I've told you about watching out for false doctrine. I've told you to watch out for false teachers. I've told you about these things. Let me show you how you're going to avoid the problems to begin with. So if you've got a Bible, go ahead and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to start with verse 16. Amen? Actually, I'm going to back up a little bit. Is that all right back there? I'm going to start with verse 14. They're going to start with 16 on the screen. It says, verse 14, he says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it," verse 15, "and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Verse 16, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work." Chapter 4, verse 1. "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." Can you say amen? I want you to see how big a deal this is, what Paul tells him in this letter. It's not advice he's giving him here. He's not saying, hey, I think you ought to think about doing this. He's not saying, you know, what I found in my experience is. He's not even saying, you know what I think might work out well. No, as an apostle, he says, "I charge you." Literally, this is what I am putting you in the ministry to do. And he didn't even say on my own authority. He says, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus." And then he says, "And if that's not important enough to you, who will judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word." Preach the word. Preach the word. Listen, I believe that there's more experiences to have in Jesus Christ than are written in this book. I firmly believe it. Why do I believe that? Because the book says that there's more experiences to have in Jesus Christ than are in the book. They said he did more things than are written in the book. Therefore, there's more experiences to have than are in the book. I believe that. I believe in extra biblical revelation. I believe that God talks. Why? Because he talks to me. Amen? He warns me. He corrects me. And I don't see the name Carl in the book. So if he could only say what was in the book, then he'd have to call me Peter or Luke or something. And he doesn't. He calls me Carl. So I know there's revelation that's not in the book. I know who he told me to marry. I know he told me to marry Tracy. Tracy's not in the book. I know he told me to move to Delray Beach. Delray Beach is not in the book. I know he told me to start the mission. The mission is not in the book. So I believe there's revelation that's not in this book that lines up with this book. Don't get me wrong. I believe in that. I absolutely believe in that. I believe that all the experiences that the people in the book had, I can have. I believe the way Jesus showed up to Paul, he could show up for me. I believe just like John was caught up into the third heaven, I can get caught up into the third heaven. I believe that. I absolutely believe that. I believe just like the Old Testament saints and Ezekiel, and they saw the age to come, and I believe that. I absolutely believe that. I believe in the gift of prophecy. I believe in the word of knowledge. I believe in the word of wisdom. I believe in faith and healing and miracles, and I even believe some gifts that aren't even in here, just to be honest with you. I believe it. I do. But I believe it all lines up with what's in this word. And I don't believe that God gives me any of that revelation because this isn't enough. I don't believe that, you know, he gives revelation that's more spiritual than what's in this word. I don't believe he speaks anything that's higher than this word. I don't believe that he speaks anything that would make me think that I'm better than you. And I'm pretty sure he's not saying anything that makes you better than me. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and he's not telling anybody else that they are. I believe that just like Jesus pointed to the Father, we are to point to Jesus. I believe that the Holy Ghost will draw men to Jesus. I do not believe that the Holy Ghost will draw people to men. I don't buy it. I don't believe that Jesus is trying to make superstars on the earth. I don't believe it. I don't believe that Jesus Christ ever uses witchcraft to preach the gospel. I don't buy it. It's not in the Word. I don't believe that he will ever tell people to sin. Not in the Word. I don't buy it. I don't believe that he ever calls people to judge one another. Don't believe it. I do believe that he talks. But I believe that the Word of God, the Bible, the Word of God is a fence to keep us within safety. I believe people who do not cherish the written word, people who don't absolutely set it to their heart, who don't get this word and crack it open and try to get it in their spirit, man, people who don't want to memorize this word and live according to this word, I believe those people are at the beginning of error. I believe people who don't think that this is a great gift from God, this written word, people who don't cherish it, people don't hold it dear to their heart, people who don't seek truth in it, are people who are already stumbling into error. I believe it. I believe that when you start... Here, let me tell you this. I had a conversation with a man one time. And I... this is an odd one. I said to him, I said, you know, I hear what you're saying. But Paul said such and such. The man said to me, I'm not a disciple of Paul. I am. I don't know what to tell you on that one. And I said, well, that's funny. Well, you know, Jesus said this. He said, but Jesus only preached to the unsaved in the Bible. Okay, so you don't have to hold yourself accountable to any of the epistles of Paul or Jesus. When you start coming up with this nonsense of why you don't need to listen to the Bible, you've already fallen into error. You start cracking open the Bible on people who got a religious spirit, you'll see it begin to manifest. Here's a good one. I feel that God's going to do something really supernatural in people's lives today. I just know it. It's going to be really cool. I need to lay a framework for it. And then it's going to be pretty cool. I like when people who say they hold the word dear and then they don't actually obey the word. That's what cracks me up. Meet some people who exalt the word almost as if it's Father, Son, Holy Bible, and they say there's no revelation outside the word. Sola scriptura. Ever heard that one? Sola scriptura. Word only. I'm like, well, that's funny. That's not in the Bible. So your Bible only revelation is extra biblical revelation. That's a neat one. I like how you work that one out. You know, explain that one to me at some point. But they'll say things like, no, Bible only. I said, so you believe in the Bible? Yeah. Bible only? Yes, absolutely. It's only the Word and no other revelation. Yes, absolutely. So you believe that we're not supposed to despise prophecy or forbid speaking in tongues, right? That's what the Word says. Oh, no, that ceased. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, do not forbid speaking in tongues and do not despise prophecy. So if you believe the Bible, you believe that, right? You don't believe the Bible. That's why you're in error. That's why when everybody around you is worshiping Jesus, you're standing there in judgment. This is all flesh. No, you're in flesh because you're not worshiping. Tell me you got 100 people jumping up and down excited about Jesus and you standing there judging everybody else, but you're right with God. Come on, man. That ain't in the Bible. You ain't gonna find that in the Bible. You ain't going to show me that scripture. Therefore, when my presence comes to the room, act like I'm not there. Nah, I ain't in there. They ain't in there. I'm sorry. I hate to tell you. It ain't in there. Before I got saved, I went to this charismatic church. Man, you know what worship was to me? I was gripping that front row. That's all I was doing. I was looking, look at him over there. Oh, boy. Not two hands at the same time. Leave the seat in front of me. Oh, look at that one over there. Oh, boy. Wow, look at that one. Woo! But then the Holy Ghost touched me one day. The Spirit of God came upon me. The Spirit of worship came upon me. And I got to tell you, if you're one of the people who come into church and you don't want to act too cool, and I understand what it's like, and you're not really right with God yet, and you don't want to, you know, you're a little worried to do, what are they going to think about me? They're already judging you because you ain't worshiping. The odd ones in this church are the ones who don't worship. That's who I want to be around. I want to be around people to say, you know, the Holy Ghost came and they just standing there like they dead. Oh, no, you're the odd one. Look, and let me show you what normal people do. Normal people, God comes in the room, I raise my hands and I worship. Ain't no one going to look at you. Go stand in the corner next week and, oh, I don't want anybody to see. Just go stand over in the corner where nobody's looking and just do this for a second. And make my praises right. And watch, nobody's going to come and laugh at you, all right? You can just be free. Just be free. Buy the mission CD, go home, turn off the lights, no one's looking at you, put the CD on and feel what it's like to do like this. Like, wow, this actually ain't feeling so bad. What do you know? You might actually encounter God one day. Who knows? I don't know where I'm going with this, but this is for somebody. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know who this is for, but I'm just going to go here for a minute. I understand people who like teaching. I get that because there's a call to be a teacher. Since there's a call, there's people who really love it. I understand that, and that's cool. And I'm not a teacher, and it might frustrate you that I don't teach more because you're a teacher and I'm not. You know, well, it is what it is. I don't know what to tell you, but I understand that. But that doesn't negate the need to listen to the Word. That doesn't negate the need to worship. That doesn't negate. You see, there's exhorters on one side, and there's teachers on the other. And the teachers tend to get over-analytical. And that's okay. The teachers want to see it, you know, line by line. They want a logical progression. And the exhorter over here is just like, who cares what the Bible says? Just worship Jesus. You know, that's what they say. Just worship. Doesn't matter. And the teacher over here is saying, oh, no, we don't want to get in the flesh. Just stand there and don't move and just come to some mental ascendancy. All you got to do is learn and everything will be good. And really, the truth is somewhere in the middle. You know what I mean? I'm not going to understand everything God wants me to do, or he wouldn't be called God. He'd be called convincer. Okay? Jesus never said, and I will send you the convincer who will make you understand everything I want you to do, and you don't have to do anything unless you understand it first. No, that's not what the Word says. Okay? God is going to have you do things you don't understand and things you don't want to do. People say the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. He would never have you do. Yeah, that's a lie right there. Oh, he's a gentleman, but he is still God. And last time I checked, he ain't got to ask me before he does anything. And if the Holy Ghost has never told you to do something you didn't want to do, then I might tell you ain't baptizing the Holy Ghost right there. I never met nobody who said, you know what, I hope God starts challenging me on pride. No, but he'll challenge you on pride. You don't want that because you're prideful. You'll like the fruit, but you don't want it. I never had anybody come to me and say, Pastor, will you lay hands on me? Because I really want God to start challenging me to give until it hurts. I want God to just really challenge me to, I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills, yet give my money anyways. Can you lay hands on me for that, Pastor? I've never had that prayer request before. But I've had plenty of people come to me and say, Pastor, is this goofy because God is telling me to give money I don't even afford to give? Yeah, that's God. He's telling you to do things you don't want to do. Because he's God. So if you're in here and you're like, well, I don't know why they're doing that. They don't do that at my church. You ain't at your church. God brought you here for a reason. Because they don't do this at your church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Real quick before we go on, who's going back to college this week? Who's going back to college? Stand up if you're going back to college. You're going to be in college this semester. Stand up. Praise God. Now, I want everybody, you're going to be in college this semester. Not, I hope to, not now, you know, work release does not count, you know, just. DUI classes does not count. All right, those around them, go ahead and lay hands on them and put your hand up if you're standing. And when somebody lays a hand on you, put your hand down. If you're standing and you're going back to college, put one hand up. Just gather around them and let's pray. We're just going to pray a blessing over them real quick. Put your hand down when somebody lays hands on your shoulder or whatever. Just come on. So some of you who are sitting are going to have to get up and lay hands on people who are standing and still have their hand in the air. Stand up, move over to them. Put your hand down once people are laying hands on you. We have people over here on the left as nobody stands. Somebody who knows Jesus, stand and come over here and lay hands on them. Mikey, I don't know, bro. Okay, all right, we got someone coming over to you. Praise God. All right, we're just going to go, just begin to bless them real good. I want you to bless them for divine appointments on the campus. I want you to bless them that they won't walk in intellect, but they will encounter Jesus this semester, that they will be a light, and they'll have good professors who are able to teach. Go ahead, start praying. Come on, start praying. That they'll have professors who are able to teach, that they'll have classes that people actually learn. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the harvest in the college campuses, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We release this, Lord. They know your word, but they know your spirit, and they're going to walk according to what you've called them to do, Lord. Come on, pray, people. Pray, 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 pray. If you're sitting, you're praying anyways. Come on, pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, the anointing of God, the anointing of God, even spouses, Lord Jesus, they would receive everything they need. Even spouses, Lord, that they will get married and bring them to the mission. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen, and amen, and amen. Now listen, I want you to see something here in this scripture in 2 Timothy. Paul does not command him know the word. He doesn't command him memorize the word. He doesn't command him write books about the word. He doesn't command him make pictures of the word. He gives him a very clear command in the name of Jesus. He says, preach the word. Preach the word. Everybody say it. Preach the word. Now listen, this is a command for my life and for your mind. It's not just for people who are on stage holding a microphone. This is what we are called to do. You see, too much of spirit-filled Christianity today is super spiritual, extra biblical. And again, I don't throw stones because there is extra biblical. I believe in that. However, I think people don't remember or recognize the power of the Word of God. We read in John chapter 1 how Jesus is the Word. There was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word took on flesh. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. We don't move beyond the Word. And so Paul, recognizing this, says, listen, you are going to encounter false doctrine. You're going to encounter false teachers. You're going to encounter people who don't understand anything. You're going to encounter the lost. You're going to encounter the mature. You're going to encounter elders. You're going to encounter deacons. You're going to encounter prophets. You're going to encounter apostles. You're going to encounter all kinds of people. And here's what I want you to do with them. Preach the Word. Preach the... See, the challenge is, for those of you called to ministry, if my ministry is limited to my gift, every time you come, I have to manifest a greater gift. There is a great pressure, and I once operated under this, you know. You would preach, and a quarter of the people would fall out, and you'd be like, wow, next week, what if a quarter of the people don't fall out? What am I going to do to get a third of the people to fall out? Okay, last week, a third of the people fell out and got touched by God. Wow, what am I going to do greater this time? You know, and what if half the people don't fall out? Oh no. I had a prophecy for 9 people. Now what if I don't have a prophecy for 11 people? What you know, what they think, that my anointing is diminished? Is my gift diminished? Now I gotta come up with bigger words, and I'm sending out emails. And there's this pressure that comes upon you as a minister that it has to be greater and greater and greater and greater, because your ministry is based on you and your gift. Learn early in your ministry. Preach the word. Lean on the word. Put your weight on the word. There's angels in heaven, the Bible says, and they're looking at God, and they're constantly saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. holy, holy, holy. And people say that they're constantly saying that because it is a new facet of God that they are discovering. Let me tell you, I know most of you, and there isn't a whole lot more to discover. In order for more of you to be discovered, you have to invent more, manufacture more. You preach the word, and Jesus is constantly revealing himself to people in new ways. I can preach a scripture, and 15 people will hear it 15 different ways. Because it is Jesus Christ that I am describing. And he will reveal himself how he wants to reveal himself. So Paul says, look, don't go out there, Timothy, though I've laid hands on you and you have these gifts. And don't manifest those gifts. Don't preach your gifts. Don't preach yourself. Don't even talk about the stories about what you and I did. Don't talk about the miracles that we saw. And don't even talk about the gifts that I manifest. Don't talk about my shipwreck and the prison and the raising from dead from being stoned. What I want you to do is preach the word. Lean on it and let Jesus Christ reveal himself. Preach the word and let Jesus Christ reveal himself. I'm going to say this over and over and over again because you got to get it in your spirit. It's not about me. The mission isn't about me. The mission isn't about my gifts. The mission is about Jesus Christ, and he has anointed me to talk about him. And so I talk about Jesus, and the Bible says that as I lift up Jesus, he will draw all men. I don't want to make disciples of Carl. I want to make disciples of Jesus. I want to get you to the place that if something happens to me, the Lord takes me up into heaven, the Lord sends me to another place, y'all just keep going just fine without me. Amen. Anytime, Lord. That's just... I'll take a heavenly trip any moment. That would be just fine. Listen, turn to Romans chapter 10. I want to show you the purpose in preaching the word right here. Yeah, I want you to get a grasp on how much power God has given you through the Word of God. And this is about to start moving in some hearts right here. When you get a revelation of the power you have, your faith coupled with the Word of God, it's going to get you fairly excited. Romans chapter 10, starting with verse 14, he says, how are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? How are they to hear, what's it say? Without someone preaching. How are they to preach unless they are sent? Now listen. Jesus, through Paul, says, how are people going to get saved if someone does not preach the Word of God? Now, I believe in sovereign salvation because I've seen it happen. I know that Jesus just shows up on the scene, but that's the exception, not the rule. And it's not the system that Jesus laid in place on the earth. Jesus saves, okay? It's not me who saves. It's Jesus who saves. But someone's got to activate that faith. Someone has to be sent. Someone has to go into the streets and hear the gospel. That's why so many people, they say, hey, will you come to church? Will you come to church? Will you come to church? And then people bring visitors to the mission all the time because we're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so many times people say to me, Pastor, I just pray that my brother comes to the mission. Just pray that my neighbor comes because I know if they come to church, they'll get saved. Amen. I hear a lot of people tell me that. And it's not because we're so great. It's because we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And Jesus saves. Jesus is looking to save people. You know that? Jesus is looking to reveal himself to people who don't know him. Jesus is really excited about getting your loved ones in contact with him and regenerating their spirit that they be worshipers on the earth. It's not, oh, I slid in, but mom and dad, I don't know how they're going to get it. Jesus saved me, but my uncle, he's really out there, so I don't know if Jesus can, like, I was just good enough to get saved, but them... You hear that, right? Yeah. It's going to take a miracle for my uncle to get saved. It took a miracle for you to get saved, brother. I don't know if you knew that or not. The miracle is called salvation. Amen. And you experienced it, and so can other people. Because they're saved and unsaved. That's it. That's all there is. It's not really good unsaved. And you know, it's the saved unsaved. Your loved one who doesn't like you preaching to them, it's not because they're really bad. It's because they just don't like you preaching to them. But Paul tells us here, he tells the Roman church, look, you know, we talk about this a lot. There's that old saying, what was it, St. Francis who said, you know, preach the gospel everywhere and use words if you must. Preach everywhere, but use words if you must. As if I'm just a really good driver, people will get saved. I'm stopping for the yellow. They see Christ in me. Nah, dog, they don't, actually. That's not what's happening at all. Go back to Genesis, and what you'll see is God spoke the earth into existence. He spoke it into existence. There's something that happens when you get the Word of God. You mix it with faith, and you send it through the air. I don't know exactly how it works. I do not understand the ways of God. But I do know that when I hear something in my spirit, either through reading the Word or God speaks it to me, and I get this measure of faith that He has given me, and I have stewarded, and I've guarded, and I've kept pure, when I get that faith, and I mix it with that revelation, and then I go ahead and I speak it through my mouth, something happens on the earth. Something happens to the ground around me. Something happens to the lost. When it hits their ears, something is stirred on the inside of them that they didn't even know was around. What happens? Happened to the prophet in the valley of dry bones? He didn't just say, believe me for life. He said, no. Hey, listen, speak to the dry bones. Command life upon them. What happened when Elijah was up on the mountain and he told the servant, go check for rain? Right? He had to speak those words into the air. Faith accumulated in the skies. Clouds began to form and it began to rain. Elijah said, I spoke and it did not rain for 3.5 years. But once I speak again, come on now, once I speak it, then the rain will come. Something happens when you, in faith, get the Word of God on the inside of you and you begin to declare it to your family. Guess what, Mama? I'm sorry I have not represented Jesus real well, and I hate to tell you, one day you will worship Him. I'm not asking, not convincing. No, you ain't got to come to church now. I mean, but the day will come when you would ask me to give you a ride. You got to learn the power that God has given you by speaking the Word of God. That's why He said life and death is in the power of the tongue. If it were not true, why would He have said it? Life and death is in the power of the tongue. What are you going to use yours for? Paul says, listen, Timothy, I've given you authority. Speak the Word. He didn't say get you together a committee and vote on the people who will be in authority and then have a doctrinal review group and then have some oversight and send your podcast to 19 people and let them check and then ask your people if they like you. And he says, no. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. I love the gifts. I love them. There is nothing more exciting than getting a prophetic word for people that you don't know and sharing it with them. I mean, when you get a word of knowledge and you're like, I don't know where that came from, but it was on. Tracy and I, all the time, I'll just be like, honey, let me tell you what happened. I don't know where this came from. I just said it. And they're like, yeah. She goes, honey, that happens all the time. I'm like, I know, but it's still amazing every single time. I don't get tired of that. I'm like a little kid. Every time God gives me a word of knowledge, it absolutely amazes me. Every time I get a prophetic word, you know, I say, Pastor, you said this was going to happen, and I did it, and it happened. I'm like, are you serious? That happened? Wow. I love that. It's exciting to me. I hope you all function in it. I really do. I believe God has gifts for every person in this room. Just as exciting to you as that is to me. But my God, I preach the Word of God and Jesus shows up and the gifts manifest. Amen. I don't preach the gifts and then other things manifest. Selah. Listen, our goal has to be Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. If you want to be like me, you're going to come up short.
Amen.
Hear me. If you want to be like me, you're going to come up short. The goal is still Jesus. Now, there's an anointing that's on the message each week. You just preach the message to your friends and family. There'll be an anointing on it, you'll notice. But it's not because I said it. It's because that's what the Lord is speaking.
Amen.
Okay? The high watermark is Jesus. It's not Sergio. It's not me. It's not Miss Cynthia. It's Jesus. You hear what I'm saying? And he tells the Roman church, listen, you want these people to get saved, but if you don't get up and do something, it's not going to happen. If you don't get up and start preaching the word, people cannot get saved. Tracy, on Tracy's mother's side is Jewish. Her father's side wasn't, but her mother's side was Jewish. And as a matter of fact, her grandparents were Orthodox Jews. Her grandfather was observant Orthodox Jew. And freedom. Thank you, Lord. Excuse me. Thank you, Jesus. And Tracy tried to witness to her family, and it didn't work. They shut her down, cursed her out. just didn't work. And so we decided to just, when we had an opportunity, we would pray, we'd preach, whatever, but we just love on them. At the same point, we would minister to every single divine appointment that would come our way. Co-workers, people's kids, pastors' kids. I can't tell you how many pastors' kids I've won to the Lord. It's just, you know, people come to the altar. Are you saved? Oh, my dad's a pastor. Wonderful. We know he's saved. Are you saved? You're not, are you? No, it's time. You know, just like a lot, you know. So we would just be very faithful with every lost person that would come our way. Then when Tracy's grandfather was, what, 95? That's old as dirt right there, okay? 95. Like he was born on like the 8th day or something. I don't know. Like he was really old. He was old, Orthodox Jew, and half crazy at this point. This guy was in and out of sanity. Like he was out there. And we just believe God. He's in a half-dead people home, you know, like the old people place they put, you know what I'm talking about? They put people and they stink, you know what I'm talking about? I'm sorry, that was bad. My wife is correcting me. Forgive me. He didn't stink. The place did, though, okay? It was bad. And God brought along a saved rabbi that began having, like, Seder with him. You know, the Saturday night, the Sabbath service that they have, the Seder. They'd have these Sabbath services with them. Shabbat, whatever. Saturday night thingies. And they'd have Shabbos together, and that's what it's actually called, Shabbos, thank you. I knew I'd get it eventually. And they just start having it, and they do it in Hebrew. And, you know, all his life he did it in Hebrew because he's Orthodox. And so this guy, they just do it in Hebrew together. He didn't even know what he was saying. He just say the Hebrew because that's what you do, because that's religion. And eventually this rabbi would start talking about Yeshua, which is how you say Jesus in Hebrew. Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. And he just started talking to him in Hebrew terms and in Jewish ways. And eventually, this is really cool. He's 95 years old. On the Day of Atonement, the year he passed, on the Day of Atonement, he received Christ as his Savior. And if you understand the Day of Atonement, that's the one day that the Jews get their sins forgiven. They fast for a day, that's for the forgiveness of sins. On the Day of Atonement, he received the Passover lamb. I mean, that is unbelievable. We were faithful. We were just faithful to the people God brought us, preaching the word. And someone, God brought somebody to preach the word to our loved one. So now his wife, you know, she's ill in the hospital, whatever. Don't want to hear anything about Jesus. Along comes that rabbi, preaching the word to her. Now we call her up. What you doing? I'm reading Matthias. That's Matthew in Hebrew. She's reading the New Testament, talking about Yeshua, talking about her Savior. Praise God. I tell you what, I thank the Lord Jesus Christ for people who preach the word. They don't say, oh, they're Jewish. I can't share the word with them. They'll be offended. No, 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 no. The word has power. The Word of God has power. There is power in the Word of God. When I preach the gospel, you may not want to hear it, but it has power. The enemy inside of you does not want to hear it, but I will preach it anyway. And either he has to leave or you will leave with him, but I will preach the Word. People call me up and they say, you know, Pastor, you don't really know me. Can I get some advice? And I let them know, yes, I understand your situation, but I'm not a counselor. I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you how to solve your problem. You need to get saved. You need to receive Jesus. You need to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. You need to stop sinning and God will turn your life around. Yeah, but what do you think about this? What I think about that is you should do that after you get saved, that you receive the Holy Ghost, that you repent of your sins. Then all those things will get worked out. Amen. Pastor, can I meet with you? I got this anxiety. I got this. Oh, you got that? Yeah, let's talk about it. What you need is a little shandere veketa. That's what you need right now. You don't need me to counsel you. We're not going to talk about your fears. We're not going to talk about what your mama wasn't nice to you. We're not going to go back to third grade when Sally wouldn't go out with you. You're going to receive the Holy Ghost. You're going to repent of your sins. You're going to get baptized in water. You're going to now begin to walk out your salvation. You're going to watch your life change. There is power in the Word of God. Can you say amen? Wow, we're going somewhere right now. If you got, we're gonna go to Acts chapter 11. I am getting excited. Thank you, Jesus. There's power in the Word. Power in the Word. The purpose of preaching the Word is so that people can get saved. Let me show you the power. This is gonna rock some of you right now. Acts chapter 11. Now, Peter, we talked about this the other week. Peter. You know, originally God was the God of the Jews, okay? The Gentiles couldn't get right with God. It just wasn't in there. They weren't in the covenant. They were outside of the covenant. And if you were a Jew, you couldn't even eat in their home. But God showed up to Peter and told him, look, someone's going to come get you. You're going to go to his house and you're going to preach the gospel, right? At the same point, the Lord spoke to this dude and said, hey, there's going to be a dude. Peter, get him in your house and just listen to what he has to say, right? So he goes there and great things happen. And they go to Peter because they're a little upset that he did this. So we're going to start in Acts 11, start with verse 15. He's going to show his defense of this. He says, verse 15, as I began to speak, he showed up in the house. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, the people who are not Jews. The Holy Ghost fell on them just as us at the beginning. Verse 16, and I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us, who was I, when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? Verse 18, hear this. When they heard these things, they fell silent, and they glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also, God has granted repentance that leads to life. Amen. When Peter preached the gospel, God granted repentance. When Peter preached the gospel, God granted repentance. You want folks to repent of sin? Stop telling them that they're filthy and wicked. They already know that. They know their life's messed up. They don't need you to tell them. They know they got issues. They don't need you to tell them. You think people who are addicted to drugs don't know their life is messed up? You don't think people who are stuck in relationships that are filled with sin don't know their life is not that great? You don't think people who are broke in debt, their kids are wilding out, you know, people dropping out of school and going to prison, you don't think they already know that their life is messed up? They don't need some prophet to come along and say, the Lord says your life is messed up and if you don't stop, blah, 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 blah. They don't need that. Come on. Everybody in this room is dealing with a sin. I just believe that. Everybody is dealing with something. I'm not saying you're in the sin, but everybody is guarding against something, okay? Everybody in this room, the Holy Ghost is convicting you to step it up in something. Maybe it's pride. Maybe, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's judgment. Maybe it's some, you know, sexual sin or you know, you're not tithing or something. You're dealing with some sin in your life. Let's say last night, you know, God has told you, you need to stop watching TV. And last night you watched for 6 hours, and you're sitting in here this morning, and you're all under condemnation. And you're like, man, can't believe I did that. God told me that if I stopped watching TV, he was going to do such and such for me. And I blew it yesterday. And then someone comes up to you and says, the Lord says, because you've watched TV, I'm upset with you. Oh, thank you very much, Mr. Prophet Man. Oh, wow. Good thing you were here today, because I would have never known that. Woohoo! Goody for you, you know? That's what I needed to hear. Show up in a church with a gift of prophecy, half the room would have repented of everything they could think of right before service. They're scared you're going to call them out for some sin. Come on, who knows what I'm talking about? That's not what it's about. That's not what it's about. I preach the gospel, and God grants repentance, not condemnation. I come with the good news, not the bad news. You already know you're bound in the bad news. That's why you need the good news. The devil's really good at preaching the bad news. He don't need no helpers. I wonder, sometimes I hear people's prophetic ministry, and I wonder who ordained them. Because all I hear from you are the words of judgment, in the words of condemnation. And that's the ministry of the devil. But Peter walked in the room, and he didn't say, I perceive that you're a bunch of filthy Gentiles that cannot come into the covenant. Therefore, you will burn in eternity with everlasting judgment because you've eaten pork and you're outside the covenant, so God doesn't like you. And I now perceive that you're ceremonially unclean and you'll never be able to come to God. They didn't need to hear that. Does anybody catch what I'm talking about here?
Yeah.
That's not what they needed to hear. Peter walked in that room and he said, here's what happened. There was a man named Jesus Christ. He was sent from God. He never sinned. They nailed him to the cross, and he rose from the dead. And when we believe on him, he fills us with the Holy Ghost, and he forgives us of sin. Bam! God granted repentance to the Gentiles. He sent the Holy Ghost, and he filled them at the preaching of the gospel by Peter. Do y'all catch this? Do you understand you have the power of God to forgive sins? Well, I don't know about that, Pastor. It's in the Word. Whatever sins you forgive are forgiven. Whatever you bind are bound. I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can be forgiven of everything in your life. You may not know God. You may be bound in sin today. You may be away from God. Your life may be messed up. You may have sinned coming in here this morning. You may be high right now. I do not know. But I tell you this, I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ right now, and I have the ability through the preaching of the gospel for you to receive repentance from your sin and salvation from God. That's the power I walk in right now. You know why I walk in that power? Because I'm special. I'm special because I'm saved.
Amen.
If you're saved, you're special too. You have the power to grant repentance to people who are lost and bound in sin.
Amen.
You don't think you're special? You need to come get saved and find out who this God is and what he did for you. Say it, I'm special. No, I mean say I'm special. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. Yeah, I go to school in a little bus. Okay, I'm sorry. If you go to school in a little bus. Okay, so here we are at the mission. Where am I going with this? There's a lot of really good churches, you know. If you want to be entertained, there's a lot of things to do in South Florida. Go down Linton, there's the beach. There's the Rapids Water Park right up in North Palm. There's the mall on Glades. There's a lot of places to get entertained. I mean, if you were looking for that kind of thing, there's a lot of places to do it. I have no vision and no desire to recreate the entertainment of South Florida under the guise of a church. That's not it. I have no desire to create so many places that you don't have to actually be in the world anymore, so that you can spend 5 nights a week in church and never have to encounter a lost person the rest of your life. That's not part of my vision at all. Okay? I'm not looking to do a subset of friends for your kids and a subset of friends for you. And you know, Monday night you got ladies' night, and Tuesday night you got men's night, and then you got small group, and then you got worship practice, and then you got the intercession, and then Saturday you got the church service project, and then Sunday you come to church, Sunday night you got another service, Monday you start over again. You're working part-time so you can get to church more. You know, that's not the vision. We're not a program-driven church, and if that's what you're into, that's fine, and I don't see anything wrong with that. But my goal is not to do so much Christian entertainment that you get to leave the world. My goal is for you to get filled with the power of the Holy Ghost so you can change the world. You see the difference? And you can't preach the gospel to people that you're not around. I don't want your kids to be so active in youth group that they're not able to, you know, join the band at school. Get on the football team. There was a young man one time, and they challenged him about not being on the, oh, you're going to be in the football team. I thought you were going to come be in our school prayer group with two people. And I'm like, man, get on the football team. Maybe you'll win them. You hear what I'm saying? You know? They're supposed to be spirit-filled Christians at every place in society. Run for mayor. Become a school principal. Imagine if the principal of the school every morning woke up, came to the school, has authority over the school, and just anointed the place with oil. Come on, what would happen? What would happen? But spirit-filled churches are so spiritual that we don't actually want to do anything in the world, so we keep these low-level jobs so we can go to church 9 times a week. Come on. We got all these scandals in the financial thing. I mean, what happened if there's some Holy Ghost-filled people on those boards of those corporations that said, you know what? I believe we could make more money if we did that, but something in my spirit is just uneasy, and I think condemnation might come, and you know, eventually this plan will get uncovered, and it's going to be worse in the long run. Maybe Enron wouldn't have happened. Maybe the housing bubble wouldn't have happened. What if we had some people running the Fed who heard Jesus? And they said, you know what? I was in prayer last night, Mr. President, and the Lord showed me on the horizon is some calamity. And the calamity said, no, I saw a huge bubble, and it said housing on it. And I really think that we should maybe look into what's going on in the housing market to keep it from happening. Imagine. I mean, imagine. Come on, man. How many of you might be in a business right now, and the business that you're working in is laying off people, and what if somebody who was filled with the Holy Ghost ran that business and saw what was coming and positioned their business for that? How many people could you give jobs to right now? I wish I had a business I could employ 50, 100 people, because I know a lot of good people who need jobs. There aren't good people to hire them. That's the problem. Come on. I mean, we got to get a vision bigger than the church. We got to get a vision bigger than our little ministry on Sunday morning. We got to get a vision a little bigger than, oh, they made me the assistant usher now. Oh, I mean, we got to look at a little bigger. We got to look at societal change. We got to look at family change. We got to look at taking this country for Jesus Christ. And we don't get that unless we're in the world preaching the word of God. Psalm 119, he says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Paul said to Timothy, hey, get these guys who are grounded and make them elders. Let me get the worship team up here. Whoever's going to be doing this. Come play some music. Thank you, Jesus. Turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 10, and then we're gonna close. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to read some scripture. Then I'm going to have an altar call, and the Holy Ghost is going to anoint some evangelists. Amen. That's what's about to happen. Just in case you're curious where we're going. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 1. This is Jesus. And Jesus called to him 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out. I want you to hear the fact that you have authority. You have authority. When you come into agreement with God, you now stand in the authority of God. What God has called righteous, you can declare righteous. There is authority in preaching the word of God. Jesus. He called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He gave them authority. Verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You've received without paying, give without pay." These disciples weren't even saved yet. They hadn't received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They were going merely on the authority that Jesus gave them. And I'm here to tell you today, He's given you the same authority. I am here to commission you to go out into the highways and byways, preach. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the gospel right there. That's the good news. The kingdom of heaven is right here now. We are not separated from God. The veil has been rent. You have access to the power of heaven right here on earth. Go and preach it. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse lepers. Cast out demons. Preach the gospel. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'm here to let you know God is going to anoint some evangelists today who are going to come into agreement with the word of God, and Jesus is going to begin to use you in a mighty way in the harvest. Thank you, Holy Ghost. 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 Reba shandere. Kondava sandereveke de barreba shande. Thank you, Holy Ghost. 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 Thank you, Jesus, for authority that you have given. Lord, according to your word, I release authority right now. Now, there's going to be some of you in here that I'm about to pray and something's going to happen. There's going to be a tangible activity that begins to happen in your body and in your spirit, man. Oh, here we go. Loose the anointing, the authority, the authority, the anointing, the anointing, the authority, the authority, the anointing. Rise up in the name of Jesus. Reba shante ba kandere. Stand to your feet with me if you would. Kondeva sandebe, reba sandebe keta, reba sandeba kandere. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. More, Lord, right now, right now. He's giving visions of the harvest. Right now, visions of the harvest. The anointing to evangelize. The anointing to reap the harvest. The anointing. 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 Holy Ghost. There it is right there. The Holy Ghost. Come, Lord, and touch your people.